The daf today is daf ayin vav, and we're holding on the last couple of words on daf ayin hey omud beit. So we were talking about lechem abirim, ochal ish, if you remember, and the way the Rabbi Yishmael was loymed was we should be derish, al tekei lechem abirim, el lechem evarim. Okay, dover acher. So today we start right at the bottom line. Dover acher, another pshat in the drosha, lechem abirim, ochal ish. Who is an ish that was ochel, the same lechem abirim that we darshan before, to be referring to the man, that is referring to Yehoshua. And the chiddush is that Yehoshua ate the man that was keneged kol Yisrael, because he was standing by Har Sinai and he was all by himself. Moshe had gone up and he wouldn't have had anything to eat. There was nobody that would take care of him. And yet it says that he survived there for the entire time. So that was because he was eating the man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent man just for Yehoshua, which was the equivalent of the man that came for all of Klal Yisrael put together. So that means that he had the zechuyot of the whole Yisrael. How do we know it's Yehoshua? K'tivacha ish, u'k'tivatam kachachat Yehoshua, benun ish asher ruach bo. So we refer to Yehoshua as an ish. I just want to make sure that I'm using my headphones for you're able to hear everything. Yeah, okay, good. I hope that the hearing is good. I'm trying to use my pods, so I don't have my mic. Shalom tamidav es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Whoops, sorry. Why don't we say as the Gemara ve'ema Moshe dechiva ish Moshe alav ma'od? So why don't we say that the man was yored kulay in the schus just the Moshe keneged kol Yisrael, because danin ish ve'ish ve'im danin ish, which is ish asher ruach bo. And instead, to be Dorish via Ish Moshe is not as good a match to Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish, not Ha Ish. Sha'alu Talmidav et Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mipnei ma lo yorad lahem liYisrael man ba'am achad b'shana. I mean, it's a little ridiculous to have to run out every morning and to gather the man every single morning. Just give it to them once a year, and that way they don't have to worry about it every day. Amar lahem em shalachem mashal. This king has got a single son, and so he has. So he gave them an allowance once a year. So what do you think? The son only showed up once a year to visit dad because he needed to get his allowance, right? Okay, so he said, you know what? Why don't we make it a daily allowance? So all of a sudden the son shows up every single day. Same thing is true about Yisrael. A guy's got a big family. He's thinking to himself, you know, this month stuff, who knows? It may be here today and gone tomorrow. How do I know I'm ever going to see any more of this month? Because of that, he is b'chaving liba l'shamayim every single day to make sure that he should be zeicha to the month. And therefore, interesting article once in one of these women magazines that my wife showed me. Which is that this is a real story, a story of a woman who died, and she leaves this letter for her children, and she writes, I'll bet you're wondering where all the money is that was left to me when your father died, you know? And like all of a sudden you see it's all used up. Well, you might remember that every single time your kids come here, you know, I always have gifts for them, and where do you think that money came from? So you say, you know, remember you offered me to take care of me and I should just leave the accounts for you. Right. But I knew if I did that, I'd never see any of you. So like this, when I give gifts every single time the kids come, amazing, they show up all the time. And I was okay, that's where the money went, but it was worth it for me because that's what I want. So Amish, this Gemara. Davar acher, how you ochlim. Oops. So sorry, I'm in the middle of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Amar lahem, Davar acher, yes, sorry, scripture. Davar acher, why did they get it every single day? Because that way it would be fresh. And ayu ochlim oto keshuv cham. They ate it while it was hot, those who were zeicha to have it as lechem mamash. Davar acher, another reason why we don't want them to have it once a year is because then they'd have to carry it around wherever they were going. So that would be masui hadera. V'kvar hayah Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel, zekinim, yoshvim, v'oskim b'parshat haman. So there's Rabbi Elazar Modoy, and he's sitting and he's saying over drasha in front of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Shmuel and the Zakenim, and he opens his mouth because he was famous for his drashas, And Nana, we always say, Adayin Tzrikaman al-Modoy. Nana Reblozer Modoy Vyamar, you know, the Munchi Rabban Yisrael, it was 60 amot high off the ground. And Rabbi Tarfon said, come on, cut out this crazy stuff. I mean, Modoy enough, you know, Modoy Ata Megavev Dvarim Abivial, and you start gathering over these weird pshatim, and you say it to us. You never explain yourself, and it sounds like you're taking it simplistically. You know, what is this supposed to mean? Oh, my Lord Rebbe, all I'm doing is I'm telling you what the Pasuk says, right? I mean, it's very simple. Mikra ni doresh. Chameshesrei amah milamala gavru amayim v'yuchusu harim. So it says that the water of the Mabul went 15 amot and all the mountains were covered. So let me ask you something. What do you mean all the mountains were covered? Are you trying to tell me that the water was chameshesrei amah from the ground? And then that means it covered everything at a depth of 16 amot. And then you're telling me that 15 amot in a valley would be 15 amot high on the harim. I mean, that's quite a trick. So you're telling me that the water was not affected by gravity. It just was like a layer of water and it just followed the contours of the earth. I mean, even if you want to say something as ridiculous like that, that Maya is shuri shuri kayam, it was in different layers, that's not possible. But anyway, furthermore, if it were, the Teva Hechisavya. I mean, how in the world was the Teva's Noach empowered to go up the mountains and down the mountains if it wasn't floating on top of the world, right? On water. Ella, obviously what it means is, Nifku komayanotom rabba ad ashvomaya ba'adituri. So it means that the water first was raised to the level of the highest mountains and then it went up 15 amot. So that's the simple meaning of the pshat over there. Now, then it would be above that there was another 15 amot that gavru hamayim. So that's what it's referring to. Now, I ask you, v'chiezor midah meruba, midah tova u'midah puranut. What do you think? As we know, certainly a midah tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not less then the midas puranot. I usually say it's like, wow, 500 times greater. I mean, but it's certainly not going to be less, okay? So then if that's the case, it says over there that because arubot hashamayim niftachu, that the water went up 15 amot, okay? So now, in there, that was talking about the marble. That was a disaster. But b'mida teva, referring to the mon, what does it say? Vaitzav shchakim mima'al, Vidaltei shamayim ptach, vayamter aliyim man lechold gan shamayim natan lama. So over there it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the doors, as opposed to what it said before, which was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up for the marble an arubah, basically a door. Take a look at an old-fashioned barn door and so on. So you've got four little windows that open up in the door, like our modern four-door refrigerators, right? So that's a door. And aruba is one of those windows in the door. So if for the man one window opened, and for the marble one window opened, and for the man two doors opened, daltot, that means we're multiplying the amount of man times 8. So then that would mean that if there was 15 amot of water that came from one aruba, so then daltay would mean that there's 8 times that, which is 60. So I'm just telling you how to add up the pasuk, right? So kama arubot yesh bedelet arba. So if there's arba, put it all together, two doors, 2 times 4, that equals 8. Nimtzu man shirat le'Yisrael gavah shishim amas. What are you complaining about me for? All I'm doing is reading the pasuk to you. Fine. Tanya Isi ben Yuda Omer. Man shirat le'Yisrael haya mitgaber ve'oleh ad shirohin oto kol malchei mizrach u'ma'arav. It went up so high that everybody was able to see all around the world. They could see the man from wherever they were. And this was in order to be the fires in the nest. They always got that sense that the man was coming down. That you make, David HaMelech says, you make for me a shulchan that everyone, all those that are against me, which refers to all Malchei Mizrach U'Ma'arav, obviously everybody against us, so then it would be everybody saw it. And then when it says Kosi Rivaya, it says Abaya Kosi Rivaya means that the coast that David HaMelech was holding in order to say his bracha in the Olam Haba, so Kasev of David Lamadati must have held 221 lug, Shenemar Kosi Rivaya, and the gematria of Rivaya is 221. Anyway, getting back to Rabbi Lazar Amoda is. We're not really persuaded by your drasha that we should do 8 times 15 for a very simple reason. So, I mean, how do you compare these two things? Hello, Dhamma. Over there, when we're talking about the rain fell in 40 days, right? So you're telling me over the course of 40 days of continuous rain that you ended up with these 15 amot. Over here, you had just like a short period in which the man fell down on top of the tal. So, I mean, it could be much less, right? Or we could look at it the other way. We could say, over there, the rain was falling onto the entire earth. Over here, the mun was very concentrated into one small place, and maybe all of that mun was the all of what the rain would have been for the entire world times 8. So maybe it's much more than that. I mean, it's no comparison. I have no idea how to compare the two psukim just because of the comparison of Arubat and Delet. So maybe there was tons and tons. I mean, you're taking the entire area of the earth, and you're putting everything that would have fallen over the entire earth into a space of 12 kilometers by 12 kilometers. Rebbe Elazar HaMadai, actually, Rebbe Elazar HaMadai says, I'm not just trying to make sense of like what it would be logically, I'm learning Gzeirah Shava in a way. I'm saying in both places it uses the Lashon of Peticha. That's the point. So the Niftechu kol Mayanot, or that's the idea, or Niftechu, the idea of the Dlatot, Hashamayim Niftachu. That's Gzeirah Shava, Psicha Psichas. I'm just saying, whatever the din was over there, that's the din over here. Okay, anyway, getting back. So the Mishnah says that now that we finished discussing all of the Nyonim of the Mon, which we pointed out is Kneged Yom HaKippur, and since both of them come from Moshe, and we're dealing with the fundamental idea of feeling satisfied, not abstaining from eating per se, but abstaining from satisfaction, that inyan of the mon, that it was nivla b'matayim arbaim v'shmona evorim, is that it provided the absolute nutrition that was necessary, and therefore it would be, by definition, the ultimate sense of sviya for the nefesh, because that's why we called it the nefesh, but all 248 evorim. So that's why we're so involved in the relationship of Moshe's koyach of Yom Kippur and the mon. So we said over there that it's Osir Bachila, and it's Osir Bishtiya, and it's Osir Rechitza, and it's Osir in Sicha, and it's Osir in Ni'ilas HaSandal, and it's also in Tashmish Amita. So where do we get the idea that there's all of these five things? Omer of Chista, well, add up the number of times that it says the Lashon of Inui in the Torah, and you will see that that's exactly the case. Because we have Ba'asor l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh v'initem et nafshotechem. Then we have Ach Ba'asor l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh Yom ha'kippurim hu v'initem et nafshotechem. Then we have Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem v'initem et nafshotechem. Then we have Shabbat Shabbatoni lachem v'initem et nafshotechem. Then we have Vayta lachem l'chukat olam b'chodesh ha'shvi'i ba'asor l'chodesh tanu et nafshotechem. Okay, we got these five separate times. So then that means each one is a separate one of the Inuyim that the Torah is being marba that we should include. Later we'll see what makes us think that it's specifically these three things that are called Inuyim. So hold on a second. These are five psukim, and you listed six different things. Now, how did five cover six? You had eating, and you had drinking, and you had washing, and you had the oil, rubbing yourself with oil, and wearing shoes, and tashmish amita. I mean, that's six. No, it's not six, because not to eat and not to drink is considered to be one category. Shtiyah b'chlal achilah. So there's five. The Yomer Shlokish Minayin Shtiyah Shibichlal Achilah. What gives us that idea? Shenema v'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha ma'asar degancha tiroshka v'yitzarecha. So it says over there that you're supposed to eat tirosh. Now, how do you eat tirosh? Tirosh is wine, right? And you drink it. And it says over here, v'achalta. So obviously the Torah considers the drinking of the tirosh to be a form of achila. Therefore, achila means consumption, not literally chewing on solid food. Well, I mean, not necessarily. Tirosh may be an actual food, because maybe it means that you put the wine in an anigaron. Remember what the anigaron was? These were these like health drinks or health soups. So in the Omer Rabba Bar Shmuel, anigaron, what we call stam anigaron, that's borscht, you know, Maya the silky. Then we call aksigaron, that we call all types of vegetables that we cook, you know, celery or whatever. And that creates, so that creates what? That creates a mashke, doesn't it? So some Rishonim learn, the Ritva learns that we're just using this as meaning. You see that what we do is we will put wine together with various ingredients, right? We'll then make it vegetables. So we could put it in the vegetables itself, maybe. But others say very pashut. Once you make borscht, and this becomes the way that you eat the borscht, the bracha on the borscht is ha'adama. And it's achila, it's not considered to be shtia. And therefore, if we mix it with wine, as we always put in alcohol in our anigrons or oxigrons, so because, you're not hearing me? Okay, I don't know what more I can do. I mean, I could switch to, you're not hearing up and down? To start going slow, or I could switch. Fading in and out totally, that you don't hear when it fades, or it's lower? All right, let me see if I can put it on another network. It's crazy. Okay, is this any better? Is this okay now? It's on my cellular. Okay, great. All right, so we'll continue on this space. So if there's any problems, please let me know. I think the one to complain to is Naftali. He obviously has a poor quality, probably using hot, if I know of it. Anything that goes with hot, yeah, I knew it. Okay. All right, so then it... Okay, it's not going to change anything, but we can hope, we can hope. Okay, so anyway, so it's very possible it's referring to like a solid food or a soup that has a bit of a solid food that would have tirosh in it. So how do you know it means drinking? Because there are ways to eat tirosh. Elamar v'acha b'ayakum mi'acha. V'natata ha'kesef b'chol asher te'aveh nafshecha. Babakar, ubatzon, ubayayin, ubeshechar, right? Now look, I mean, that shechar is definitely shtia. And it says over here, afterwards, it uses the lashon, v'yachalta, lifnei Hashem elokecha. Okay, so then that's called achila. And it's very clear. It says wine and shechar. Well, right, so what does that prove? Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it means mix it into your soup, your anigron. Well, it says sheikhar. If it would have just said yayin, you could say that. But it says sheikhar, and the lashon of sheikhar means an intoxicant. So, I mean, if you mix wine with soup, it is not intoxicating. So then it must mean straight out wine, right? No, not nah. Maybe there, look, there are foods that are intoxicating. Like we call it dvela ke'ilit, which is basically a type of very rich and fermented pressed fig. And we said that that is called intoxication. Tanya achal develaki ilit v'shatat vash v'chalav. A kohen who drinks honey, a lot of sugar, can also make him high, or milk, and then he goes into the Beis Hamikdash. Machlokas whether this means only if he does avoda and so on. He's chayef. He will be considered to be over on the iser of the yain v'shechar al tesh, not to go into the Beis Hamikdash. So obviously, it can be shechar as a food. You still haven't proven to me that drinking is the same thing as eating. Actually, the mocker is, we learned it out from Gzeira Shava, that just like it uses the losha of Sheikhar, Yain v'Sheikhar al tesh bevo amalo moed velo tamutu, it also uses that same loshen when it comes to the miyayin v'Sheikhar yazir. It's the same exact loshen, and over there it specifies exactly that we're talking about the wine that you drink by the nazir. That's the entire issue. Okay, so that explains that drinking and eating are considered to be one thing. So that's how we get only five things. But all along we've been having this whole discussion about Tirosh, that Tirosh means wine. Does Tirosh mean wine? Doesn't it say in a Braita that if somebody makes a neder, that Tirosh is aser b'hana'ah on me, that the halacha is he is not allowed to eat any type of sweet kind of fruit, so he can't have watermelons or whatever, but he can drink wine. It's the exact opposite. So Tirosh just means something sweet and yummy. It does not mean wine. So are we going to learn out from Tirosh? What were you thinking, Bichlal? What do you mean, Tirosh is not wine? Of course it's wine. It says, V'tirosh yenovev betulot. But Tirosh gets the virgins open. Now, what that means is somebody, well, I mean, obviously it means what it means also. You know, that's always put in a little bit of drugs to get the girl. But what the pasuk is talking about is that people whose hearts are like virgins, meaning they've never been pierced, they've never opened up. You give them a little bit of wine, get them high, and all of a sudden they start declaiming. So that, I mean, that's only if it's wine. It can't possibly mean just give them some watermelon. So isn't that a raya? Not necessarily. Maybe the Tirosh means the grape. And when it's saying over here Tirosh, it means grapes end up making wine, which comes from sweet, yummy grapes, and that will be an oveh betulot. But it says, v'tirosh yikavecha yifrotsu. The Tirosh of your vats, those are vine vats, are going to overflow. So how do they overflow with grapes? Yeah, I mean, same thing. That which comes from the grapes, which are sweet fruit, so the davar haba min ha-tirosh, yikavecha yifrotsu. That's all that it means. Prove that it's wine. Okay, it says, znut v'yayin v'tirosh yikach lev. Okay, now over here it's referring to promiscuity, wine, and Tirosh means over here the fresh wine. So that means these things will take away your heart, they'll take your heart, they'll capture your heart, and they'll make you do whatever they want you to do, and you end up losing control over yourself. Okay, El Dekuleyama Tirosh is Chamra. Okay, fine. It is wine, 100%. So how do we explain the Braisa that says if somebody asers himself on Tirosh, he is allowed to drink wine? That makes no sense. Because B'nidarim, it doesn't matter what the Torah calls Tirosh. Nidarim are totally defined by what the person had in mind when he made the neder. So the person makes the neder, it goes according to the way human beings generally refer to a word. And the word, the way people use the word, halecha chalashon b'nei adam, wine they call wine, and sweet things, sweet fruit, they refer to as tirosh. Okay, why does sometimes the Torah refer to wine as wine? Sometimes it refers to it as tirosh. I mean, what, there must be like some remez to the meaning of these things. Well, that's because, yes, yayin comes from the sound of yilala. It's like crying, because it brings so many tzoras to the world. It just, first of all, in terms of what we know happens when people become drunkards or become in any way addicts. So that is an awful situation. Secondly, because as we said before, the inovev betulot, the simple meaning is that we said before, ano sein bekos eno, so he thinks every girl in the world is his, right? Domeh elav kol arayot kulam kemei sharim. So it brings tremendous tzaras. So that's yayin yilala. Tirosh is because it means that you become poor. If you just get yourself totally involved, you're mitgare b'yayin, so the nase rash, because you lose everything. But Rav Kahana says, if you take a look at the way it's spelled, right? So it says tirosh, like you say. But we don't pronounce it tirosh, we pronounce it tirosh. So what the word tirosh is actually referring to is the dual nature of wine. Because zacha nase rosh, if you use wine properly to expand your mind and it's moderation, so then you can become a godol and be mole the insights, because nichlas yayin yotzasei. But lo zacha, if you don't know how to use things properly, then it will wipe you out. And nase rosh. Rava rami, ksiv yisamach. So the Torah sometimes calls the effect of wine yisamach levav. But It's written Yishamach, because when we have a shin, I mean, it could be Yishamach. So what is it, Yishamach or Yisamach? Well, same thing. If everything is done correctly, it makes you happy. But if not, then we switch the chet for a hey, and it's Yishamach. It'll be Mishomem you. So it just leaves you without anything, like runes, desolate. Vahenu diyamarava, chamra, v'rechani pakhin. I became as smart as I am because of wine and because of the way that they always use these delicious smelling oils to just expand my mind. Rechitza v'sicha. Next. So now we know about the drinking and the eating. They're one thing. Moving on. How do we know that not washing or not putting oil on yourself, how do we know that that is called inui? Because Daniel says, Lechem chamudot lachalti, for all that time that I was in mourning over what was going on with Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash and couldn't figure out when we're going to have a geula, I didn't eat any lechem chamudot, anything that had any attraction to it. And basar v'yayin lo ba'al pi, I didn't have meat, I didn't have wine, v'soch lo sachti. And I didn't put any wine on myself. So this was after Koresh HaMelech, and when he got all those messages about what was happening and that the Jews are going to rebel, so he stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and that left Daniel utterly shattered. So this is what he did, and this is actually 3 weeks. It says he did this for the 3 weeks. It's mamish. The Gemara is absolutely perfect for today. So that this is the remez to the 3 weeks that we keep. So my lechem chamudot lo achalti. What is like nice looking bread? This means afilu nahama dechiti dechayata lo achal. He didn't eat any. I mean, even though it's, what are you going to say? It's mamish an iser of tainug. He wouldn't even eat nice white delicious bread. He actually may do with that whole wheat stuff, and that was well. That must be awful. So how do we know that when Daniel said, okay, I didn't put oil on myself, I understand, that's very nice, but we asked you, how do we know that oil is part of the inuyin? Where does it say inuy over there? Ah, because remember that when the malach comes to tell Daniel, this is referring to Gabriel HaMalach, so when he comes to tell Daniel that you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard your tefillahs, so he says to him, Vayomer Eli, Al tira Daniel, don't have any fears. Kimina yom arishon, from that very first day of those 3 weeks. Asher natata libcha lahavin ulehitanot lifnei Elohecha. So for the first day that you put into your heart that you're going to get to the bottom of this, and you're going to be mitaneh. Now, Daniel defined that mitaneh by saying sach lo sachti. So we see that sach lo sachti is considered to be mitaneh. And from the very beginning of it, Nishmu dvarecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard your words, va'ani bati bidvarecha, and I have come in because of you. We'll see what that means. Anyway, okay, this tells us that sikha, anointing oneself, is considered to be, if you violate it, it would be a violation of inui. How do we know that washing is considered to be a violation of inui, and that is considered to be something that's memale the nefesh. Om Rav Zutta Rabbi Tuvia, Om Akra, v'tovol chamayim bekirbo v'chashemen ba'atz motav. So it says over here that the water David HaMelech talks about, so that is cursing the nice people that deal with him. So let this curse come into them, and it should be, it'll go into them like water and like oil deep into his bones. So we see that it's comparing washing with water to using oil. Wait, I mean, maybe that means drinking. Maybe it means like drinking water and like consuming the shemen. Well, I mean, it's comparing it to shemen. People don't drink oil. So the shemen would be some type of oil that they put on themselves. That's what it's saying. And that should come deep into them. So then the mayim that it's referring to also doesn't mean drinking. It means from the outside. So therefore, the same way that we understand that putting oil on your skin is osur because of an inui, so too putting water on your skin, which is washing. This doesn't make any sense. Because take a look at this. The Mishnah actually says exactly the opposite of what you just said, the Mishnah in Shabbos. It learns out the shemen from the mayim and not the mayim from the shemen. Because, I mean, the Mishnah says over there in Shabbos, minayin lasicha kishi kishtiya b'yom ha-kipurim. Well, afa pi she'in ra'ya ledavar, zecha ledavar. She'nemar v'tavoch ha-mayim b'kirbo v'chashemen b'atzmota. So over here we're doing just the opposite. We're saying that, well, if sicha is compared to shtiya, so then it must be that sicha is osir. And you started by saying sicha is osir, I know from Daniel, and then you were going to learn out that the water is referring to rechitza. And over here you're learning out that the water is referring to drinking, and we're going in the opposite direction. I mean, something's weird. That's a Mishnah. What are you arguing in that whole Rabbi Akiva and all of his drushes? I don't believe it. It must be a different mocker for rechitza. You're right, says Rav Ashi. Elam Rav Ashi, the truth is that the rechitza comes from the very same pasuk that Daniel spoke about. Because it says over there, v'soch lo sachti. What's that double soch lo sachti? What's wrong with lo sachti? Soch lo sachti is saying I didn't put anything on my skin, not water and not oil, and that is considered to be the beginning of lehit anot. Obviously, it's comparing the washing to the actual anointing. But what was the end of that pasuk where Gavriel tells Daniel that ani bati bidvarecha, I came because of you? What is that referring to? Ah, that's a big story. That's a reference to this. What it really means is that Daniel was allowed back into the Beis Din Shel Maala because of you, which is, wow, what a thing for Gavriel to tell you. And this was a whole story that Daniel got thrown out of the heavens, and he was not part of the Sorim Shalmala, of the Shivim Sorim, that were the best in Shalmala. This is what happened. There were Shivim Ish of Ziknei Beis Yisrael, Ya'az Nayav and Shafan, Omei B'tocham, and they're all standing in front of these idols, and this is all this horrible story, which Yechezkel is shown, like why everything has to be wiped out in Eretz Yisrael. And so they've got these 70 people that are standing there, and they're worshiping these idols, and they're in the Beis HaMikdash, Ish Miktarto Biado. Everybody's holding one of these censers for Keteres, Vatara, Nan, HaKeteres, Eila. And then it says that Vayishlach Tavnit Yad, a hand came out, this is what he sees in his vision, a hand comes out of the Shamayim, takes me by the tzitzit roshi, it grabs me by my pants, and carries me away. Vatisaoti ruach ben haratz ben hashamayim, vataveoti Yerushalayma b'marot Elohim. And there I was, this is the earlier pasuk actually, and he shows me, this malach shows me, the petach shar hapnimit aponetzafona. So there I am in the inside gate of the Beis HaMikdash, facing north, and this gate is the place where this horrible moshav, this the Semel Hakina HaMikaneh, where he sees an image of this horrible Avodah Zarah that's there and that everybody is looking at and worshiping. And so at that point, he brings him into the Beis HaMikdash itself, Vayaveoti al Chatzar Beit Hashem Hapnima, and there he is, Vinei Petach Heichal Hashem. He's right in front of the Heichal, and incredibly, Bein HaOlam, Ubein HaMizbeach, there's 25 people. This is like what we've been talking about throughout the Masechet, Bein HaOlam, VaMizbeach, where we put the Karbonis and the Pyre Kohen Gadol. This is an awful image over here. In that very place, there's 25 people with their backs facing the Heichal. Their face is towards the rising sun. Ve'hema mishtachavim kedma la'shamesh, and they're bowing down to the Shemesh, which is at the east. Well, isn't it obvious that if they're facing east, so then their backs have to be to the Heichal, because the gateway was in the east, and then the Heichal was in the west. So isn't that obvious? V'mashmash namru p'neim kedma. This is a horrible thing to even say, but anyway, what it means is that they were mooning the Heichal. So they, bedafka achoreim, their rear ends were facing the Heichal Hashem, and ayupor inatzman, they bared their rear ends, vayomatrizin klapei mata, and they would actually defecate towards the Heichal. Okay, so this is too horrible to go on with, and we finished actually what we needed to do today. So, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.